The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
I'm Dan Telfer from Brian Posehn's Nerd Poker.
Welcome back, Dan.
I'm grooving like I'm listening to the opening music still.
Yeah.
This happened because I like to imagine that immersive experience of the audio journey.
We should totally be playing that in here, in the studio. The nonstop loop of the Rebel Force band.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Like Krennic. Thanks for coming back. This is Force Awakens. This has been a fun ride, that a movie that's pretty much universally accepted, somewhere between accepted and beloved.
So yeah. Much. Yeah.
Today we're talking about minute 66. We're executing rather minute 66.
Oh.
There we go. Sorry, I missed the reference.
Do it.
Of Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. It starts with Rey entering a room in the basement, and it ends with Rey hallucinating that Luke is touching R2-D2 on his head.
So are we going to go through this chronologically? Because right away I have a question about this last shot.
Sure, we can jump around a little bit.
So,
although wait, get up more up in your mic.
Oh, am I?
There you go.
I'm doing that stand up thing where you sometimes want to talk over your mic as opposed to into it, because
right.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, a lot of stand up comedians just eat the microphone or like balance it on their fudging jaw. I promise these guys I wouldn't have them have to do that, and already I can see in their eyes, they're like, how many more times is that gonna happen? Okay.
End of the minute.
If we accept that this lightsaber is recalling its own journey, then does that mean that this lightsaber was discarded here at Luke's Jedi Academy during this moment?
I don't necessarily think it's following its own journey.
Right. Well, it starts out that way. I think it's...
Right, because she's in that corridor, which is somewhere that lightsaber was ignited at one time.
It's the Cloud City.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the Cloud City, the downstairs level of the...
the Cloud City basement.
Carbon freezing chamber.
Although, is it exactly? Because there's a lot of, like, interesting squiggles that I didn't notice.
Originally. Do you have the script handy? I think it says in the script that it is, in fact...
That would have been a great thing to look
at. I feel pretty confident about that fact.
Yeah.
All right.
It might not match exactly, but...
I will say, I really enjoy the way Rey flips out and lands on her side as that corridor collapses. That's a pretty cool effect.
Yeah, it's definitely feels very dreamlike and very,
little Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah, kinda. This is unprecedented. We've never really seen a flashback type thing like this in Star Wars before.
And I think it's clever the way they make it a hallucination, which we kind of also haven't seen in Star Wars before, but it keeps it present tense. It keeps it from feeling like we are deviating from the narrative. You're seeing a character experience this you know, in real time, as the movie would progress in real time. So it's not too much of a flashback.
It makes me wonder if, like, Luke's vision of a city in the clouds was something similar to that.
Yeah.
Like, he's just seeing random images and pain and...
I bet it was. I bet like that's at least what he was going for. I bet, he was trying to say, like, okay, this is finally you can see what it... Yeah. A Jedi sees when they
from a certain point of view.
Yeah. All right, so you are right. Should I read through this real quick?
Sure.
Should I read through the script thing? All right. So
people love when we read stuff.
Door opens. Hesitant. Rey enters. Rey moves into the dark. Interior Maz's castle. Crypt room. Day. Rey moves into the dark. Small vaulted storage room. Old treasures line the floors and walls. But there is something specific Rey is drawn to. On a table, an old wooden box. She moves to it, unsure, afraid, as if an energy from inside the box has been calling her here. BB-8 nervously follows. Rey reaches out very slowly to touch the box, in a moment heavy with tension. Rey opens the box, sees inside Luke Skywalker's original lightsaber. With hesitation, she reaches towards it, but she cannot resist. As her hand makes contact with it, there is the piercing sound of a lightsaber igniting. She moves the hand away. Rey hears a mechanical breathing sound.
I'll do the sound effects.
Thank you. The camera moves, lighting changes, and we see behind her something impossible. A hallway from deep inside Cloud City.
What is this hallway? I'm doing her subtext.
Thank you. Disembodied voices fill the air.
Hey!
I hear voices!
Its energy surrounds us.
Yeah, I noticed more this time. I was kind of scrubbing to see what I heard here. You hear that Yoda saying that?
Yeah,
I did not notice this until we were doing this, and I put earbuds in to listen to it. I did not notice.
I heard about it, and then when I rewatched it, I caught it.
Yeah, I think one of the times that I saw this in the theater, like, was after I had read some stuff, and so
you knew what to listen.
I paid specific attention. I think I went to a theater that had good sound, and it was like, oh, okay, all right. I was sitting near a surround speaker, so I just got one really loud. like the time I saw Pink Floyd, and I just had Stephen Hawking yelling in my ear the whole time.
This reminds me, too, this movie, there was a minute where I thought I was going to quit the internet and social media. I liked this movie so much. I was like, oh, like, I hate reading about the secrets. I just want to watch movies and live my life. Like, this is great.
You've come to the wrong place.
Yeah.
No, but, well, podcasts are a little different. You get to hear people comment on it, but there's just that culture for us nerds where you get one thing. Like the corridor, whether or not it's Cloud City, like so many think pieces were written about just that moment.
Right.
And you just get so tired of reading them, but you want to and you do it anyway. And you just, I really enjoyed this movie so much that I really thought I was going to quit looking up Star Wars stuff on the internet for a minute.
I'm not convinced you didn't make the wrong choice.
You should.
If I could stop looking on the internet, I would totally.
Well, you guys are like indentured servants to this intellectual to the internet. Property.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, to this.
Yeah.
All right, so then...
yeah, let's get to the meat.
Disembodied voices fill the air. Young girl says no.
That's right, it can't be the journey of the... Of the lightsaber, because we're about to see some of Rey's actual...
Unless it can be. But the other disembodied voice that I heard was Luke screaming when the actual lightsaber just gets disconnected from him. So you see the hallway, you hear Luke going like, no, like when his hand gets cut off. And then you hear kind of Yoda, and then you hear it. And then we suddenly hear young girl shout no. She stands, looks around, confused by all she sees and hears, turns and sees through a doorway. We follow Rey, and she runs down the corridor, but it all tilts, turns, and she lands on the wall, which is now the ground. It's dried grass. She turns to look. We pivot, and we see a burning temple at night. We pan to R2-D2, who watches the flames, and a man appears. Luke.
Man-a-man?
Yeah, man-a-man
No,
appears.
That's not a man. Man-a-man is 8 feet tall of zucchini-like glory. He's a big old zucchini fry with weird red eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really awesome seeing Luke in this moment. Of course, not knowing if Luke would be a significant part of the movie at some point. Everyone in the audience is like, oh, boy. But how this also made me... this shot... right here was a big reason why I went cold turkey, no less Jedi trailers.
You were referring to the shot where Luke's metal hand is resting
on R2's
head.
Which is in the Force Awakens trailer, yeah. And although I enjoyed it, and I was like weeping openly when I saw it in the trailer, I saw it in the movie and was like, I love this so much, I really wish I was experiencing it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we I think we had just talked about that with the Chewie were home too. That kind of build up of like,
yeah,
they're getting invaded, and then suddenly it's like, oh no, it's the most comfortable thing in the world. It's Han Solo and Chewbacca on the Falcon, and you're like throwing love in your face, and it's like, oh okay.
And this is so much Han Solo's movie. I wish there hadn't been so much like internet press about him hurting his poor little ankle, and right. Like, I would have loved to have just gone into this not being so shocked to see so much of him.
Right.
I felt like we were all expecting it a little bit.
Alex's brother. This is a story retold many times on the show, I feel like, this season. But Alex's brother got to the... He's not as hardcore, obviously, as the rest of us in this room. But he enjoys...
I've heard about Alex's brother.
He enjoys a Star Wars from time to time. And then... he made it to the poster outside the actual theater. He saw it and he was like, hey, Harrison Ford's in this one? And that level of blissful ignorance is a goal to be achieved, I think, at some point.
That'd be so great.
Again, stay off the internet.
Yeah, you know, I guess.
When I will say the moment in this minute where, because my daughter, I went to see both this and The Last Jedi with my daughter Nova, and she had seen none of the trailers. She just knew she liked Star Wars and wanted to see the new Star Wars. The moment where she opens the chest and like sees the lightsaber, Nova stood up with her mouth open, and I had a really hard time paying attention to the movie for the next like 5 minutes, because like I was just looking at her and she was just like, because one thing that I feel like they did really good was they did not make clear who the new Jedi was going to be.
Right. If anything, obfuscation. They were like,
they leaned pretty heavily towards Finn.
Yeah.
You know, like,
great.
They show that he used to be a stormtrooper in the trailer.
He uses the lights. They just show him with a lightsaber in the trailer?
Yeah, he uses the lightsaber before Rey does.
Right. Yeah. And I think in all the posters and stuff, he was the one holding it. Like, it was the...
So when she opens it, like, Nova lost her mind, because she was super into the Clone Wars and a lot of those kids' shows. You know, she watched Rebels, and to see like a live action movie that was the main thrust of the Star Wars media, and this woman was gonna have a lightsaber, she just was like, what? She lost her mind even more at the end when clearly Rey was able to force pull the microphone out of a snowdrift. But this moment like blew her mind so hardcore. I had to watch the movie again with some friends to really take in a lot of this dream sequence, because this was like a big moment for my daughter.
Yeah, this is totally a like, you know, mental note, like need to confer with the nerds for this sequence like afterwards.
And I will confirm too, because I'm not in the minute, at least 3 dozen women screamed with joy when Rey pulled the lightsaber and started fighting Kylo Ren at the end. Oh boy. Yeah, that was like a 7 p.m. showing, the release day. Like, nobody had seen the movie yet. It was a good time.
Good stuff. Okay, so a man appears. It is Luke, whose face we do not see. He falls to his knees, reaches out to the droid with a mechanical right hand, all in caps. We push in on Rey as rain begins and day turns to night. And she looks up. We tilt up to see we're looking at a warrior as he is stabbed by a fiery lightsaber. He screams.
I think we're going into the next minute
now.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the end of the minute.
Oh, okay, yeah, right. I forgot about that.
Spoiler alert.
Got caught up.
I'm going to keep reading. No, we'll save that for tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot to unpack here.
I would have been okay if this was R2-D2's only appearance in this movie.
Mm.
I wasn't a huge fan of how he got used, I can set that aside because of how much I loved this movie, but I thought... you know, there's been a lot of quibbling about like the underuse of the droids in the movie, and it's like, well, let them be cameos. I don't know.
Yeah. The only thing that, you know, if they're in it for like a second, that's fine. So it's Star Wars-y. They are characters, but they're also to a certain extent just kind of props. not
right,
to take anything too far away from the droids. I love C-3PO. I love R2-D2, but also that like, they can just be there to be like, hey, look, it's Star Wars, you know.
I feel like in all the new movies, Rogue One came closest to figuring out what to do with a droid. I feel like a lot of the new droids have been cool, but storytelling wise, they're still very disposable and props.
Right.
It's been a little bit of a bummer. K2SO, I was like, this guy rules, different personality. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for his personality. And when he dies, it's tragic.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that I just sort of summed up how I feel about the main movies. And then L3, I felt like shouldn't have died. Like, that felt like a little forced tragedy to me. I was like, look at this forced. Great character. And then, hey, yeah, forced. So, yeah, I mean, I love R2-D2. When I met an officially sanctioned Disney R2-D2 robot in real life, I got choked up, even though it was a stupid tin can. But, mm-hmm. like, yeah, it's this shot is so iconic. I kind of just wanted to let this be the thing.
Yeah,
it was a good flashback. It is. It really, and the flashback really makes you so curious about this temple. You barely learn slightly more about this in the next movie that I won't get too into. And then, I mean, we were just saying this before we went live, but I want to know what is in that frickin' treasure room where the lightsaber is in a chest. I want to know in a way where I'm kind of bummed out. There's probably 1,000 comic books about what's in that room, but I don't know.
I feel like they haven't gone too deep into that.
Uncharted territory out there.
I hope they start fleshing out with these new movies as the epicenter more and stop trying to fill in the gaps between the movies so much.
Just spin stuff off of that. It's a different thing altogether, but some of the characters, they have side stories that it's, you know, I go back and forth between complaining about, you know, like, oh, why do we have to like explain who everybody is? But I like it when it's a character or something that's just got like a side story that has very little to do with anything. And it's just in like, and they walked through Maz's castle and that's why we saw them here, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that's expanding, you know, flesh out the universe without necessarily being, you know, changing the path of things. But I totally want to see more stories. You could do a, first off, I said it's kind of like the Simpsons basement, where it's just like all Stein, you know, like Ixtapalapa kettle and all the other just kind of random bits and pieces from random episodes are just stuck down there.
Well, they do that in Solo. That's sort of what...
Solo, the whole movie. That's the Solo, the whole movie is that.
Is all the expanded universe stuff in the background. Yeah.
But then also I thought of Friday the 13th, the series, that you could have a little like kind of anthology show that just kind of went in and out of Maz's basement.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It was a cool treasure chest. You don't often see, like, I don't think we've ever seen a treasure chest, and you don't see a lot of wooden things in general in Star Wars.
I mean, why Ewoks. Would you even need wood in a universe where apparently steel is so easy to come by? Steel and plastic is just everywhere.
Yeah, which is how old it is, I guess.
But I think, I mean, I might have had this note for a different minute, but let's chart how much time do you think, what percentage of its lifespan do you think that this lightsaber has spent inside a wooden crate, like a wooden chest? Because when Obi-Wan has it, it's just been living inside that wooden chest in his apartment for probably years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And then in between, we don't know exactly how long Maz has had it, but she says for ages.
Right.
So,
and we also don't know where it was before Anakin had it. It's probably sitting in storage somewhere.
Right. It was on a blister card on the rack in the at the local.
Do we see when Anakin is presented with it, or no. Does he make it? He probably makes it himself.
Well, this lightsaber, uncertain. Which becomes so important, we have no idea how we even got it or anything.
I know at least at some point in Star Wars canon, this may have been retconned. It used to be that you, as a young Padawan, part of your journey was constructing your own lightsaber with a crystal.
Right.
So I think it's still canon that Anakin, maybe it's even in the Clone Wars, I don't know, but like he went and constructed this.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it's really Anakin's lightsaber.
Right. Well, which is why I got confused. Clearly this whole flashback sequence is not the journey of the lightsaber. And when I said that earlier in this episode, I was foolish. However, I kind of thought that a little bit because Kylo Ren is so obsessed with this lightsaber being his.
Mm-hmm.
And for a second, I was like, oh, maybe it was his good side lightsaber at the temple and he discarded it. And that's why we're seeing this moment with R2-D2. Like, mm-hmm. It's like laying in the rubble post-temple burning.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, Kylo, like maybe Luke gave it.
Well, he didn't have it, though. He lost it in Bespin.
Right. It fell.
Right, but like my brain made a bunch of leaps anyway.
Oh, so you're saying he got it back in the interim and then also somehow it wound up here.
Possibly. Yeah, I think I would love to find out what happened to it. I mean, clearly it got to Maz somehow and my brain, again, I acknowledge stupidly, tried to get it back in Luke's hands before the events of this movie. But
his hand.
But now I want to know what Kylo Ren's lightsaber looked like. Or if he just tossed it in the trash, or if he's got it in his own wooden chest in his closet somewhere. And
well, don't we see it in Last Jedi? Because he defends himself against Luke.
That's right, yeah. Do you remember what color it was? Luke's is definitely green at that point.
Right. Luke's is still his old green one.
Yeah.
Right, I don't know what color his is. Kylo's is.
It's probably blue. I mean, it's probably like, that blue's the generic lightsaber.
I feel like if it was anything other than blue, people would be making a big deal out of it.
Right.
Like if it was purple, if it was green, it wouldn't be green because they wouldn't have a green.
It wouldn't be red because that is a kyber crystal that you only use when you're tainted by the dark side or whatever. Because isn't it like from Korriban or some?
No, you have to take a regular crystal and torture it and that's what turns it red.
Right. You have to make the midichlorians in it real sad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Other thing with the Luke putting his metal hand there, I remember there was some speculation that he was doing a kind of computer mind meld because he has a robot hand and touching a robot that he was somehow putting his memory, like where he is, the part of the map or something.
Can't you just let something be symbolically beautiful without writing a bunch of nerd? He's learning basic right now.
Well, the speculation that I like that was just brought up to us the other day with Steele Saunders, that he was, so this is after the as we later learn, Kylo Ren flips out, destroys the whole Jedi Temple. Luke is just like, forget it, I'm done with this stuff, I'm never doing it again. He just put his green lightsaber back into the holder in R2-D2's head, and he's just like, you keep this, I'm done with this. And R2 just sealed it off, so it's back in the launcher, back in its sheath within R2-D2's body, which I like that.
Right, because we don't know what happened to his green lightsaber.
No. Well, it's in the droid.
I just like how this is, to me, I don't mean to bring it back to droids, but this episode, I feel like you guys... You're seeing my brain shake off the rust because I haven't done the podcast in a couple months, and I'll be at full speed in your Tuesday episode. If you let me, can I come back?
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try and win it with this next observation. Luke is the only person who I feel like emotionally appreciates the sentience of droids in all of the main movies.
Yeah.
He's the only one who has affection for R2 and C-3PO in a way that a sentient being would have it for another sentient being. And that is one of the ways that Luke is sensitive and a good hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what I like about this shot. He's I mean, the tragic and kind of beautiful part is his hand is robotic, but that's an afterthought. The real thing is he's actually emoting to this droid that probably just gets, you know, constantly beat up and knocked through droid factories. Mm-hmm. And I love it. C-3PO and R2-D2 were never my favorite characters, but I feel like they're emotionally abused all the time, and that's really messed up, and it made me empathize with them. And then when Luke does stuff like this, I'm like, ah, yeah. Luke's the best.
That's actually, now that you mention it, I'm curious as to where C-3PO is during all this, and they really missed an opportunity because they could have had C-3PO like in pieces after the big fire, and he could have been making like puns about fire. Oh, we've really gotten ourselves into a hot situation.
Well, he's with Leia at some point because that's the first time you see him is when he's got the red arm and he's in the general ship.
Right, but I mean where was he during the whole...
Oh, I'm sure he was... Luke didn't want him around.
You know, like,
well, when he got the red arm, he was captured or something, right? Like, was it?
I did not look into the origin.
I've read that comic and I forgot it instantly. Yeah.
Into it before we get to it.
Put out so many comic books when the Force Awakens got released. It was like, this is too much new canon. I have to scrape out all the old canon. Give me 5 years and a brain shovel and I'll catch up. But like, I know. He lands, he's somehow captured by either like droid salvagers or pirates or something. And he at one point is on the run with a group of droids and they die off one by one and he escapes.
Oh, right. But he loses
some acid rain by being able to use an arm that he gets from an Imperial droid that's red.
Right.
So I know at one point he was separated from like the rebellion and the Republic and all that stuff. So I don't know where C-3PO is right now, but I don't think he was consistently at the temple with Luke and R2.
Hmm. That's sad that R2 and 3PO didn't get to spend their dotage together.
Well, they back and forth and they come and go.
Right.
It's pretty much all, like we said, the hallucination continues till tomorrow. So I think that's all we had for 66. We're going to keep it going. I'll read more from the script tomorrow, maybe.
I do, yeah. I do want to pause it now while we're in this first episode. Is the lightsaber awakening something in Rey? And so this whole flashback is really Rey's connection to the Force opening up just through like a spark? Or is the lightsaber doing something on a more,
right.
On a more operative level?
Like, did the lightsaber bring her here?
Well, you mentioned the crystals can feel something, so I'm wondering what you guys think. Perhaps we'll know more in a moment.
I think it's just, it's not, the lightsaber's not telling her the story, it's just opening her up more to the Force, and so she's seeing it. And like, it's basically giving her, it's like the,
because these are some of the answers she has been seeking. Where is Luke?
Right. So it's like what's that podcast in the morning that summarizes everything you need to know for the day?
NPR?
No, I don't know.
NPR is a great podcast.
Somebody just listened to it this morning before they heard this, but it's,
Fresh Air?
It's just basically like, all right, here's the, it's like 10-10 wins, you give me 22 minutes, I'll give you the world, and it's basically just giving, it's filling Ray in, all right, here's a couple of big things, so some of the answers you've been looking for, some of the stuff that might happen to you, force, we'll go over it, but here are the basics that you need to know right now.
Broad strokes.
Yeah. I think that, but who knows, could be wrong. We don't know how the Force works entirely.
We'll never know.
But we do know that if you want to look cool and look snazzy and look sharp, you can go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch and get some cool t-shirts and pillows and phone cases and mugs and all kinds of stuff that have our fun designs on them. Some of them directly torn from the pages of the show. Some are just fun other Star Wars designs that we came up with. But go there, check it out, get some stuff. Come back tomorrow for a brand new episode of Star Wars
Minute.